Okay, let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seed of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Okay. Entry number 115, May 22nd, 1932, from volume 30. Now you must know that the person who lives in the divine will reacquire between so many prerogatives, the gift of infused science, a gift that will be a guide to her to know our divine being, which will facilitate the carrying out of the kingdom of the divine fiat in her soul. It will be her guide in the order of natural things. It will be like the hand that guides her in everything. And it will make her know the palpating life of the divine volition in all created things and the good that it continually brings her. This gift was given to Adam in the beginning of his creation. Together with our divine will, he possessed not only the gift of infused science so that he knew with clarity our divine truths, but all the beneficial virtues that all created things possessed for the good of the creature, from the greatest thing to the littlest blade of grass. Now, as he rejected our divine will by doing his, our fiat withdrew its life and the gift of which he had been bearer. Hence, Adam remained in the dark, without the true and pure light of the knowledge of all things. Once with the life of my will returning in the creature, his gift of the infused science will return. This gift is inseparable from my divine will, just as the light is inseparable from the heat, and where it rains in the depth of the soul, the eye full of light is formed, and the soul, by looking with this divine eye, acquires the knowledge of God and of created things for as much as is possible for a creature. Now, with the withdrawing of my will, the eye remains blind because my will, who gave life to the sight, has left, meaning it is no longer the operating life of the creature. The same happens to the body. As long as the eye is healthy, the creature sees, can distinguish the colors, the objects, the people. But if the pupil becomes darkened and loses the light, becomes blind, therefore cannot distinguish anything anymore, at the most, to know and understand something, will find help by way of hearing. But its light will be gone and finished. Perhaps the person will have eyes, but no longer will they be full of the life of light, but of thick darkness, bearers of sorrow to the lost sight. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Before we go to the text, I want to share with you something that I think it will illustrate all these readings also and what we are we just read today. This comes from Luisa's appeal. And in that appeal, Luisa's appeal, there is a passage in which Luisa Picaretta invites a soul to enter and to go with her into Eden. This is what Luisa Picaretta says. And now I invite you all, come with me into Eden, where our origin had its beginning, where the Supreme Being created man, and making him king, gave him a kingdom to dominate. This kingdom was the whole universe. But his scepter, his crown, his command came from the depths of his soul, in which resided, as dominating king, the divine fiat, which constituted the true royalty in man. His garments were royal, more refulgent than the sun. His acts were noble, his beauty enrapturing. God loved him so much. He played with him. He called him my little king and son. All was happiness, order, and harmony. This man, our first fathers, betrayed himself. He betrayed his kingdom. And by doing his will, he embittered his creator, who had so exalted and loved him. And he lost his kingdom, the kingdom of the divine will, in which everything had been given him. The doors of the kingdom were closed to him, and God withdrew to himself the kingdom given to men. Now I must tell you a secret. God, in withdrawing to himself the kingdom of the divine will, did not say, I will no longer give it to man. But he kept it on reserve, awaiting the future generations to assail them with surprising graces, with dazzling light, such as to eclipse the human volition, which causes us to lose a kingdom so holy. So that's what Luisa Picaretta says about that state of grace and holiness in which Adam was created. Then I wanted to read that to you because Luisa Picaretta, in her appeal, she talks about our origin. And sometimes we forget that, but for our study of Adam is very illustrative, and especially in this passage that we are reading tonight, the divine will that was given as a gift to Adam gave him, as our Lord Jesus mentions in this passage, full knowledge. And this knowledge that he possessed guided him. He only in that state in holiness in which he was created, in which he only knew good. He didn't know any malice. He didn't have any malice in himself. He only knew good. This absence of evil doesn't signify ignorance on the part of Adam. He was completely free from that, from that state in which later he fell. So he was completely free of any malice, of any tendency, of any illness, free of ignorance also. Ignorance is a consequence, the darkening of the intellect is a consequence of original sin. So God, we know that God is a spirit. And if you look in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described as light also, as fire. So being made in the image and likeness of God, Adam possessed being spirit also, because the soul is spiritual. He resembled, the soul of Adam was made or was molded into the image of God, who is a spirit. So if God is a spirit, then in the Bible we find the description of the Holy Spirit as also being light. The light of the Holy Spirit that descend upon the holy apostles in Pentecost. Now, in the state of holiness, Adam possessed this likeness, this light. And in this passage that we read from Luisa Picaretta describes that the kingdom of the divine will, of the scepter of this kingdom, resided in the depths of the soul of Adam, which is exactly what the book of Genesis tells us. Now we come to know through these writings, we are able to see what sacred scripture is talking about. So on the seventh day when God rests, he rests in the depths of the soul of that creature that he created, Adam. He resides in them, in the soul of Adam. So we find that reference in the book of Genesis. On the seventh day, God rested. He finished all his works, and then on the seventh day, he rested. But he rested in the soul of Adam, his creature. In this passage from Luisa Picaretta, also, she tells us that the kingdom that he gave to Adam was the whole universe. Exactly what the Catechism tells us in 358. Everything was created for men. And then when we see in the book of Genesis that God gives dominion to Adam, and he tells, basically he orders him to name everything, is because he possessed this gift of infused knowledge that the Lord himself is talking about today. This gift was given to Adam in the beginning of creation, together with our divine will he possesses. This is not only the gift of infused science. Basically, what is the gift of infused science? Or how do we understand in a simple way the gift of infused science? Well, imagine that Adam had a PhD in everything. That he didn't have to learn 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. He just knew everything. The gift of infused knowledge, infused science. And the Lord says he knew this with clarity, all our divine truths, even all the virtues, the benefits that the plants and everything they possess for created things and the good for creatures and everything. Notice that he emphasizes that, yes, he knew everything according also to the capacity of the creature, because God is incomprehensible to the human mind. We can only come to know so much of God because we are finite and he's infinite, he's eternal. We are created and he's the uncreated. So he always was growing in that knowledge and understanding according to his capacity. But he was always at every moment, we can say, full of grace as the Blessed Mother. So let's go and see the image of the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother is without sin because she is full of grace. That makes her beautiful. Full of grace, no sin, since the beginning. So to put it now for us, what does it mean for us? So what is the example of the teaching for us? Well, that if we remain in the state of grace, we also become beautiful in the eyes of God. Grace makes us beautiful to the eyes of God. Grace render us beautiful before God. So the opposite. So Adam was created in that state and he was beautiful. And Luisa Vigaretta says that he was so beautiful that his beauty, that grace that he possessed, made him so beautiful that God was basically enchanted with him. The beauty of Adam enraptured God. We are talking before the fall. Remember, at that stage, Adam is full of grace. And grace renders the creature beautiful before God. So one reason for us to love the sacrament of confession. The sacrament of confession renders us full of grace. And we are full of grace as much as possible as creatures, of course. We are beautiful in the eyes of God. And if we are in that state, God is able to operate in the creatures. Well, so he had complete knowledge. But what happened after he lost, after he rejected basically that kingdom that he was given? Our Lord Jesus says that he remained now in darkness. So we see that darkness is the opposite of what God is, because God is light. God is a spirit, and this Holy Spirit is like light, is fire. And we see now that darkness is a consequence of sin. So what happened with Adam with that gift? He lost the gift of infused knowledge. Now His intellect is darkened. He's not able to see with clarity the divine truths. He forgot all the virtues and everything that the created things have for the benefit of man. So being in that pure light, now he goes into darkness, which basically is sin, the absence of grace. So before he was full of grace, he was beautiful before the eyes of God, and now the opposite. He remains into darkness. And that renders the creatures not so pleasing to the eyes of God. It is so impressive that these writings, they tell us so much about the beauty in which Adam was created. And one of the things that it causes me always to wonder and to go over and over is that God was enraptured by the creature in the state of grace. And then in the book of Genesis in chapter 6, he's not so enraptured anymore with the creatures. Because in Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 6, we read, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." Basically, he regretted. Other translations, they say, "And God regretted having created man." This is before the flood. So you see how we go from one state to the opposite. Luisa Picaretta tells us here that, and we see also this immediately after the fall, that even though we lost this gift, God didn't say, "I will no longer give it to you," but he immediately promised the Redeemer to send his Redeemer. And now Luisa Picaretta tells us that he will await the future generations to surprise them with graces. This is us now. And one of the beautiful things that we have through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, is that now we are able to see back into the Old Testament and understand what God was planning to do. We are able to see at the saints what they were looking and seeking for to attain union with God. We're able to see the Gospels now and draw from the Gospels the true meaning, the deeper meaning, the essence that, as the Lord mentions in this passage, he mentions the example of the eye and then the intellect being darkened. We see now one of the reasons why, at the physical level, our Lord Jesus had to restore the sight of the blind, because at the essence, at the spiritual level, he was enabled the whole humanity to see, to be able to see again and understand the divine truths that he is giving us. So I will say, without those miracles that our Lord Jesus performed, we will not be able to understand now what we understand, because he was redoing, basically, as he mentions here, because he wants us to, the creature, to acquire. So the creature will reacquire, he says, this gift. So basically now, what we see that through these writings that we have from the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, we are given, and this is very important, I think, for us to understand, that we are given to possess, or we are given a gift, or the opportunity to possess a gift right here on earth. To possess the gift that the saints possess in heaven. Through living in this way, we are given the opportunity to possess the gift that the saints possess in heaven. So that the light and the life that flows through the saints in heaven, through the blessed in heaven, that one day should flow through us too, God's willing, may begin here, even though we don't see it. Why? Because our Lord Jesus already has prepared the way for us to reacquire this gift and to start growing in again, operating in that way with the possession. This is another important thing, because it's not only to do the will of God, which is expressed in the Ten Commandments. It is to possess. This is a higher calling in a way. It is to possess. It's the possession of the gift that we lost. So that by possessing that gift and by operating into that with that gift itself will reorder us towards God. It will bring us back and act by act into that harmony. So we may come to the order, to the place, to the purpose for which we were created by God. But it is the possession of the gift. It's not only doing the will of God, which is again expressed in the Ten Commandments, but now it's the possession. So we should be praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in me. To be more aware of that whenever we pray the Our Father. That this is what our Lord Jesus was praying for, that now we have it in our time. So that light that Adam possessed was lost. Now we come to know about this divine science through these writings, and we exercise ourselves in this divine science through our human acts and asking the Lord to grant us that gift, to grant us the gift of His divine will operating in us, so to grant us the gift of possessing His divine will in us as He intended for us to have since the beginning. So now, remember that this knowledge that Adam possessed was always as much as he was able to possess it as creatures, because again, God is incomprehensible. We cannot embrace him all at once because we are creatures. So he had to grow in that knowledge and that understanding. Even in the Book of Heaven, we see that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Vigarreta that his divinity was restricted by his humanity. His divinity was restricted by his humanity in him. So for us, the more we read, the more we practice this way of living, then the more we will grow in that knowledge and understanding of this divine science, and it will be given to us. I remember one of the important things is also grace. Because remember, Adam was created in the state of grace, meaning that he was all the time full of grace. No sin. There was absence of sin in him. So again, that rendered him beautiful. That rendered his soul being beautiful before God. So again, for all of us, if we are in the state of grace, we will be rendered, our soul will be beautiful before the eyes of God and before all heaven. So that's why it is very important, the sacraments. And our Lord Jesus knew all of this, of course, that's why he gave us these sacraments. Because the sacraments, they are source of grace for all of us. Sanctifying grace, that the Lord assists us always through this. And while he knows that we are in the human nature and we have that tendency, which the church calls concupiscence, which is inclination to sin, he gives us always that grace through the sacraments. So that's why they are very important. At one point, the Lord mentions also that the sacraments, they will become, for those living in this way, they may become now, not only remedies, but food itself that will nourish. Not only remedies, but food. There is a wonderful passage from the writings of Maria Valtorta that I wanted to share with you. Is I have the Spanish version, but I will try to translate it to you. When isn't the notebooks of Maria Valtorta, and in one of the notebooks, Maria Valtorta has the vision of our Lord giving the stigmata to Saint Francis of Assisi. And it's so beautiful, description. It's in the notebook of 1944. And in that description, I wanted to share this because this help us understand the way the divine will operates in us. And also because Saint Francis of Assisi, I think, is one of the saints who resemble the most the original man, Adam. He resembles the most the original man, Adam. So in this vision that Maria Valtorta she has, she says that the angel descends down, the cross descends down, and then she sees the wings of the angel covering the crucifix. And Saint Francis is kneeling, is in ecstasy. And as the wings are open, he sees, first of all, the wounds, the feet of our Lord Jesus. then his side, then his hands, and then he sees the whole crucifix, and he sees our Lord Jesus, and he exclaims, Jesus, Jesus. But in that, he says that the light is so intense. He says that the condensation of this light, or the intensity of this light, it says multiply is like the light of the sun multiplied for an infinite times. She's not able even to describe. It says it's so intense, that light, that is incalculable. That's the word that she uses. It's incalculable. It will multiply the light of the sun incalculable times. This is what happened. Our Lord Jesus is able, in this vision, we see that, we see basically the light of the divine will. But look at this. Saint Francis is looking at this light of the divine will according to his human capacity. Imagine the light of this, that the saints are able to see in heaven, because now they have a different capacity. So what our Lord is offering us through these writings is the gift that the saints already possessed in heaven. So the light that we can receive is incalculable. Multiply the light of the sun infinite times. And this is the glory. It's only just a little comparison to what the saints are able to see in heaven. So this is the gift that we receive now through these writings, that the Lord wants to give, to reestablish. He wants the creature to reacquire that light. The Gospel of John at the beginning tells us that the light came, and his son didn't recognize him. I think the more we read these books, also in light of the saints, we are able to see again that what they were looking for, this is what they were looking for, that we now have in our hands what they were looking for. The way to arrive to the possession of this gift now is given to us plainly through these writings. And we see that everything was a preparation for this now. So what the Lord Jesus gave us in the Our Father, that promise that he gave us, or that is contained in the Our Fathers, this is it. This is it. So again, we should be praying, or we should be aware now, every time we pray the Our Father, that in reality what we are saying is, thy kingdom come in me. May your will reign in myself and in everybody else. That even though we are not going to see that immensity of light that I just described to you in the through Maria Valtorta, that she was able to see in that vision, that Saint Francis was able to see in that vision, and that he came, he configured himself to Christ, basically. As Maria Valtorta sees that vision, she says that then five. She describes them as needles coming from each one of them from the side of the wounds of our Lord Jesus and pierced St. Francis. And he fell in ecstasy of love. He says it didn't hurt him in that vision. He felt only the pain afterwards when the vision disappeared and he was left with the stigmata. Then he felt the pain, the suffering, but while he received it, he was in that ecstasy of love. So basically, the life of our Lord Jesus taking over his humanity and rapturing his humanity, and he was configured to Christ in that way. He was given the gift to bear the wounds of our saviors. So, are we going to have this gift? The Lord tells us that in these writings that this knowledge is inseparable from the gift of the divine will. The main purpose for this gift is so that God be glorified. So God will receive the glory, the honor, and adoration that is due to him by us creatures. If he wants to give us all these gifts, he can very well do it. But the primary reason for this gift is that he will receive the glory, honor, and adoration. And in exchange, we will be able to acquire that capacity here. Remember, he's given us the opportunity to have the gift, to operate with the gift that the saints possess in heaven. So, my prayer for all of us is that whenever we pray to our Father now, we may be more aware that we are praying for this gift that Adam possessed, that the Blessed Mother possessed, that our Lord Jesus possessed, the gift that was given to Luisa Picaretta, and to ask that the divine will may come and reign in us, in our families, in all religious communities, in sinners everywhere, in people who do not yet believe, in everywhere, in everybody. Because this gift is for all the human race. So let us ask our Lord Jesus that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, through her maternal hands, may be granted this gift to possess the divine will operating in us, that we may be rendered beautiful as the Blessed Mother possessed this gift, and she was rendered so beautiful. So let's go with the